Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the final season of this year of 2020. And you are listening to episode 71, CBD and the Future of Wellness with Will Clyden. Now, I know this year has been quite a year for everybody, but CBD is something everybody, I think it is top of my wellness, and not only that, but just anxiety and all around calm routine that I use to take care of my body every day. I actually stopped using it a few years ago once I started doing research and how your body actually traditionally with most CBD cannot absorb barely any of it. So I was tired of wasting my money. I was tired about not getting the results I wanted until I met Will. And I've experienced their CBD with Ojai Energetics, and I am amazed. They have cracked the code by creating the cleanest and most effective CBD wrench hemp products in the planet. We'll talk more about this in the episode for all you science nerds, or maybe not science nerds, but basically, they have figured out a way to make the CBD water-soluble and not fat-soluble, which means your body immediately can start absorbing and breaking down the CBD and applying it within seconds. In this episode, you'll hear how Will became a pioneer in the hemp and cannabis industry. And like I mentioned before, why is water-soluble CBD eons better than the rest of the competition? The benefits of CBD, why should you even be taking it? Seriously. The fascinating endocannabinoid system in all of our bodies. How our ancestors ingested hundreds of milligrams of CBD daily. Optimal usage and the immediate biofeedback your body gives you while taking CBD. The endless tech and world-changing opportunities with the hemp and CBD industry. And of course, my favorite would not be an episode without talking essential oils, how to pair essential oils with CBD to create a beautiful mood-altering experience for you, and so much more. I cannot speak highly enough about Will's company, Ojai Energetics, and their products like their CBD elixir that I take daily, their coconut oil, which we love in our household to make bulletproof matchas and coffees with, their sports rub for those achy muscles, and so much more. So if you guys are interested in actually trying a CBD that works, please visit Will's website, Ojai Energetics, to learn more. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 71, CBD and the Future of Wellness with Will Clyden. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, the show you get to learn your body is not in the way, but actually leading your way. And today, our guest is Will Clyden. He is the founder and CEO of Ojai Energetics, an ethics-driven health and wellness company based in California. Ojai Energetics seeks to bring ancient healing products to life by way of modern innovation. Ojai leads in the world in producing vital, natural, organic supplements with water-soluble CBD to promote everyday health and healing. Will is a subject matter expert in the area of health and wellness space that surrounds the CBD industry. His work has been featured in Forbes, Money, Entrepreneur Magazine, among many other media outlets. Welcome to the show, Will.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Excited to be here.
We were talking off air about, I'm so glad to dig into this topic. He is the science guy behind CBD and how they've kind of hacked how to actually have a water-soluble elixir versus regular CBD. I was telling you, I've kind of gone away from using CBD because of this reason. A lot of people don't realize this. How did you come to, one, discover this and now having this beautiful company that produces this?
Yeah, that makes sense. On moving away from not finding, I think, unfortunately, the vast majority of people have never actually taken an effective dose of CBD if they're taking it orally. And it's a lot of fun to be able to actually provide, because when you do get an effective dose, it's quite game changing. So I've always been into plants and nature since I was really little. Just had a passion. And that led me to study sustainable community development and holistic health. And then part of that course was studying permaculture, which is really a word for basically common sense, but it's a systems, technically we call it a systems design science, where you're looking and studying the patterns of nature to get to build in harmony with them such that you get maximum output and abundance for minimum input. So as opposed to going against nature, you work with nature. And it works. And so unfortunately, that common sense isn't so common in a lot of systems. A lot of indigenous cultures, that wisdom's been, you know, maintained. But that's how I applied that lens. So I wanted to create a catalyst of good, and I wanted to create vehicles. I was hearing about all these amazing projects and innovations, but then a lot of people like were looking for capital, and so I wanted to create a vehicle that could provide and be of service and alignment to generate, because I see currency as flow, essentially it's energy. Generate methods to send energy to systems and designs and stuff that's good for and symbiotic as opposed to parasitic. And so I'd always, in studying permaculture, like I started to dig into the hemp plant, and which is really, hemp's a legal definition, it's not a botanical definition, and so it's similar to like beefsteak tomatoes versus cherry tomatoes. Ultimately, they're tomatoes, and it's the same for cannabis. And so you have the legal definition of hemp is any cannabis plant whose THC is below 0.3 is hemp, and anything above 0.3% is not hemp. And the psychoactive threshold really is at 1% and higher THC. So it's actually set below the psychoactive threshold. But you can have hemp that looks like bamboo, and you can have hemp that looks like short, sticky, typical cannabis. People think of intoxicating cannabis varieties. So I've been studying all of the different usages and seeing how incredible and weird of a plant cannabis is, in that it has so many different functions. And so it's part one of permaculture is you look at stacking functions. Nature tends to not have one thing only do one thing. It tends to do multiple things. And so looking at it from a systems design of polyculture systems, meaning you have more than one thing in plant working together in ecology and animals and designs, as opposed to you never go out in nature and see just monocrop. It's never just one thing. It's that diversity is our strength and it's our resiliency. And so, hemp is an incredible dynamic accumulator, which means it has these really long tap roots that mine these micronutrients from the soil. And it's also incredibly good as a phytoremediator, meaning that it's a plant that can remediate toxic soil, and it can mine heavy metals and clean up even radioactive waste. So there's a pilot in Chernobyl showing how it can actually pull up radioactive materials and store them. And so that's amazing, but you never want to eat those plants that are used in heavy metal rich soil. So I like fell in love with the plant and on its diversity of usefulness. And then there's over 50,000 different uses from hemp, from paper to plastics, even to supercapacitor batteries, which we're actually working on, all the way to micronutrients in food and medicine. That's just, it's a wonder plant. It's probably the most multifunctional plants that exist. And so that flash forward, I was looking for a CBD product in 2013, thought I had to get it at a dispensary, and I found it popped up on Amazon, and it, I was like, how is this possible? And Amazon actually, I bought it, and then they fulfilled it, and I went, okay, so clearly if their legal team has cleared this, it's, something's going on. So I did some due diligence and found that it had to be grown from non-US hemp because it was pre-2014 farm bill at that point. But I couldn't get a certificate of analysis of what was actually in the bottle. It's filled with synthetics. And it turns out that particular company at the time, it would have been from Chinese hemp grown in heavy metal rich soil and would constitute toxic sludge under EPA standards. So it's great to clean the soil. You don't want to then extract it and eat it. And so I thought someone had to have been making a clean comp, you know, a clean form of it, and I couldn't find it. And so that was the impetus, was a direct need. And then simultaneously, my passion about the plant and systems in general for sustainability and regenerative sciences, you know, it was the perfect opportunity and vehicle to birth Ojai Energetics. And I created it as a public benefit corporation. So our charter legally binds us to be of, and I wrote it as, holistically benefit all life, including the planet itself, through all of our products, services, ventures, and et cetera. And so that was the launch in end of 2013, beginning of 2014. And then through serendipity and synchronicity, I met a chemist who was working on with cannabinoids. He's like, hey, I figured out how to solubilize cannabinoids, which is really important when it comes to eating them, and particularly CBD. And I said, that's great. So can we do it certified organic? And he said, no. And I said, okay, well, let's crack that code, because it's really important, particularly when you're solubilizing, to not use synthetics. And it took a while, and we did. So we figured it out, and we figured out how to do it using only certified organic plants, and went and patented that process, and then started building IP on, ranging from that all the way to supercapacitor batteries that can scale. We're currently in partnership with Lawrence Livermore Berkeley Labs, the national labs, where we can essentially generate supercapacitors, which are like, it means it can store a ton of, it's like super powerful batteries. It can store a lot of energy and then release it really fast. For a fraction of the cost of petroleum, which has really been the bottleneck of renewable energy systems from really taking off. So right now, California can generate all of this energy from solar panels and wind, but we don't have anywhere to store it. So we just move it through the system. These super caps can come in and actually microgrid and store it, and then we can go all the way to electric jets, to charging your cell phone in 30 seconds to last for weeks. So anyways, it's amazing. I got to channel my passion of creating in with the plant and all of its uses, and then and create it into an IP holding co. And then, you know, we will eventually open source. And anyways, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of responsibility. But that's the impetus.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, you said over, what, 50,000 different uses from hemp? Yes. This is crazy. And can we dive into some of those? I mean, I'm assuming we could go into what people mostly use your products for. Because, yeah, you know, if I'm talking to my mother about CBD, she's like, what are you taking? Is it really help? And so I know a lot of people take it for, you know, sports or injury recovery. I know you guys have like a gel for that. Emotional stress management. What are some other usage that people love using CBD for?
Yeah. So our body has this system called an endo, meaning internal cannabinoid, named after the cannabis plant, system. And it is like the conductor of our body's symphony of parts. It literally has receptors in every single system of the body. And it's monitoring every system to make sure that it's all firing at the right time and operating at the optimal levels. And so when you feed that system, the entire body comes into homeostasis and balance. And so that's the job of the endocannabinoid system. It's arguably the most important system in the body because it runs every other system, including the endocrine system. A lot of like it runs the endocrine, so that's to skeletal, to digestive, to respiratory, dermal, literally every system. And our bodies produce these compounds of endogenous internal cannabinoids. The two that we really know, and there's going to be more that we discover, is anandamide and 2-AG. Anandamide is named after the Sanskrit word for bliss. And the system was discovered in 1991 by Dr. Raphael Mukalam, and he's considered like the godfather of cannabis science. So it's a relatively new discovery, but not that new, right? We're talking decades. And so our body produces, for example, similarly, B12 vitamins in our gut flora. However, our bodies do not produce enough B12 to optimize our body's needs for vitamin B12. Right? And so it's the same with cannabinoids. We produce cannabinoids. However, our bodies are optimized by eating them through the cannabis plant. And so our ancestors across the globe for millennia were directly consuming cannabinoids through combustion and also eating them, and then also indirectly consuming them through feeding them to the animals and then eating the animal products of the animals. And so we go all the way back to hunter-gatherer. We don't have record. However, we do know right when we went into agricultural, now we've got written record of cannabis being one of the first crops cultivated. And that's near the Altai mountain ranges in Asia. And so in traditional Chinese medicine, it shows up as one of the great treasures of the herbs, same in the Vedic texts. And then the Scythians brought it anywhere they traveled. It went up through the Caucasus Mountains and through the Nordic channels, and then it went through the Silk Road. And then the Scythians brought it to the Greeks, who brought it to the Romans, and then anywhere Rome colonized, they brought it. And so they brought it to the British and the Spanish, and then anywhere the British or the Spanish expanded, they brought it. And so we've had this uninterrupted consumption of these micronutrients for millennia, all the way up until Prohibition in 1936, where we suddenly pulled it out of the diet. And so we've been living in the anomalous period of Prohibition of the past, about 100 years now. And so when we get them back into our body, the key is getting enough of them. The endocannabinoid system basically goes from like an idol back into full function, and it impacts all systems of the body. Now, there was a study done on hemp-fed chickens that the people who, and I know one of the people who helped with the design of the study, but they actually held it back because of how disruptive it would be. they found that hemp-fed chickens have up to 1% CBDA content per egg. So when you cook the egg, it changes the CBDA, which is what the plant produces, and turns it into CBD. It's called decarboxylation. So you heat the egg and you eat it, it's going to have around 240 milligrams of CBD per egg. And so our ancestors didn't just eat one egg, right? And they eat the chicken, they decarboxylate it, you feed it to the cows, and you drink the cow milk, you'd have the CBD acid forms of CBDA, but and the other cannabinoids in their acid form, THCA. But then you cook the cow, and then you get the CBD. So we had this large, likely dietary intake for millennia. In fact, the oldest printed cookbook on the planet is a Roman cookbook, and it contains a recipe for taking hemp flowers and heating it to decarboxylate it and turn the CBDA into CBD into what they called nard oil, which is spikenard oil, And then, so the fat would absorb it because it's fat soluble. And then they would mix it into a beverage. Now, back then there would have been, and you would drink it. So you had direct consumption plus indirect consumption, where you flash forward and you look at the clinical data of what the minimum dose range is for efficaciousness. And the data really doesn't kick in with real strength until you get to about 500 milligrams bare minimum, which now makes sense, right? If you have 240 milligrams per egg, taking less than that, there's some preliminary showing 250 milligrams, but that would be like bare minimum. But most people are nowhere taking anywhere near that. And so when you properly fuel your endocannabinoid system, you're taking care of, and I always recommend going to like PubMed, because there's actually a lot of clinical data that exists, despite what some people, the myth is like not as prevalent, but they used to be like, oh, no one knows anything. But in fact, probably one of the more studied compounds on the planet since the 60s. So we knew about it before we even knew what the endocannabinoid system was. If you go to PubMed and you look up and you can put in all these different things and issues and systems and CBD, and you're more than likely to find some preliminary, if not full double blind placebo data. So I recommend that. Yeah.
I definitely did my research with CBD for a while, and I was like, the amount that you need for this to actually be affected and the amount that your body actually can absorb and the amount of money that it would take to buy an organic quote unquote product was outrageous. Like I was like, why is this such a big deal? Like you need so much more. And I loved hearing what you guys did. And you guys actually don't call it like an oil. It's called an elixir.
Right.
Kind of go into a little bit more of why when we kind of briefly touched on the difference.
So an elixir is technically, so an extract would be extracted in ethanol. And then an elixir is an herbal formulation that's not using ethanol as the base. And so we use water because we figured out how to solubilize them, and then certified organic coconut glycerin to keep it stable without using, you know, synthetic preservative systems. And we get about a 2-year shelf life, probably longer, but we know at least 2 years. And so we figured out how, so our body, when you eat a fat, it's extremely cost prohibitive. And then beyond that, you'd have to be drinking like bottles and copious amounts of oil. It's just not efficient, right? And so we figured out, so when you eat an oil, your body, because we have this water layer that acts like the gatekeeper that blocks fats from getting into the bloodstream. Because once a fat gets into the blood, it can go anywhere in the body. So we have this built-in bouncer that makes sure that it wants to let us in, or the fat in, into our bodies so that it freely travels. So basically when we eat a fat, it sits in the gut. So we've got this water layer all throughout our mucosal membrane. And then when it's in the gut, the body scans it and says, okay, this is not poison. I'm going to let it in. now, once it deems it worthy of entering the blood, our bile secretes and nanoencapsulates the fat at about 40 nanometers in these little bubbles of water. So the fat in our gut, this is for any fat we eat every day, it will encapsulate it and then it lets it in. And then once it's in the blood, it diffuses out of that little water bubble and then goes wherever it's going to go in the body. Unfortunately for cannabinoids, they love fat a lot. They're super, the technical term is hydrophilic. Lipophilic, and hydrophobic. So they fear water, love fat. We figured out how to bypass that process that the body does, because the body is not efficient at processing cannabinoids. So if you eat 20 milligrams of CBD in a fat form, only at best 2 milligrams make it into the blood. So at best case scenario, 10% makes it in, and it takes about 30 minutes plus for that process to take place. And so we figured out how to encapsulate at the same particle size that our body does outside the body, just using certified organic plants and pressure that our body would normally take in anyways, and just skip that whole process. And so that enables people, the bioavailability skyrockets as well as the onset time is for most people about 30 seconds. And so we can give someone an effective dose that they like will actually is enough to nourish their endocannabinoid system, such that that most people will feel what they're looking for in about 30 seconds. Now, if they don't in the first dosage, another unique thing with our technology is our body actually gives us an immediate feedback of whether we're in the right dose range or not. And so with a lot of active compounds, there's these things called like bell curve responses. So it's not a linear line on the dosage and efficacious axis. So a higher dose does not mean more effective. In fact, a higher dose, because of these bell curves, could be substantially less effective than a slightly lower dose. And so that's how it is for cannabinoids. And unfortunately, that target is it's not static. It's not the same dose every day. It actually moves depending on oxidative stress. And an oxidative stress is just like any type of stress event, essentially. And so with a fat-based formula, not only are you having to eat copious amounts, but you're actually shooting in the dark. And you, one day you could be an effective dose, the next day you could be completely ineffective, and you don't know when you're dosing. So what we've discovered unique with our technology is that similar to zinc, which is water-soluble, which is how you get this immediate feedback, if you take zinc and you continue to titrate doses, it will taste like water. And then when you get enough, it will turn to this fuzzy metallic kind of bad. It's not pleasant. But that's how you know you've got an effective dose. Now with our formula, and this discovery we made, is that it will taste very, bitter and unpleasant for some, particularly if they're in real endocannabinoid deficiency. And then as they continue to take a little bit at a time or titrate the dose, it will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And then when you hit a peak, it becomes fully sweet like honey. And then if you keep going, it will become more and more bitter, all the way back down to fully bitter again, and then back up to sweet as you go to the next bell curve. And so we discovered this phenomena. And then subsequently, these researchers in Japan, and Japan tends to be the leaders in taste science, right, Unami, they figured that out. And this paper came out, and they discovered the mechanisms that the endocannabinoid system selectively modulates sweet response in the tongue. And so now we know the pathways. We had the hypothesis that it was CB2. And so this only happens with our technology because of this immediate absorption, because of our encapsulation. The second that it touches mucosal membrane, it starts to absorb, you get this immediate feedback. And if you're not getting, so the endocannabinoid system runs in triage. And so similar to like a triage in an ER, it basically assesses the systems that are most in need of the cannabinoids and then deploys the cannabinoids to those systems going down the checklist. And so sometimes what we consciously are aware of or think is our number one issue or need, it doesn't make the list. But thankfully, we tend to be pretty close. And so if it's not on the first sweet spot, majority of the time, you just dose again, and it's on that second list. And so as long as you're getting a sweet flavor, you're in an effective dose range. And then the higher you go up in terms of sweet spots or bell curves, just the more systems that your body can deploy the cannabinoids into and balance.
That is amazing. I mean, our show's tagline is "Your body's not in the way, it's leading your way." I mean, that biofeedback response is so cool.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? So cool. It's so empowering, right?
So, go ahead.
No.
So with that bell curve, I'm sure there is science, but also it's listening to the biofeedback. Right now, a lot of people are under a lot of oxidative stress, which is going on this year in 2020.
So, even more. Modernity was already intense, and then we added 2020.
And then there was 2020. Is there a science to how long? Like you said, just take it the sweeter, 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 and then you'll see that bell curve go back down. Is there an amount of time that you should start to play around with? Like, is there too short of a period or too long?
It will literally change flavor on the spot. So you can titrate the dose and get immediate feedback. And so you want to take it like a quarter dropper and then wait, like breathe over it like you would like a wine or you're tasting something, and then add another quarter dropper. And it will change flavor immediately. So then if the first sweet spot, you take it and it turns fully sweet like honey. Another thing that's interesting is it will kind of change viscosity a little bit. When the cannabinoid system modulates in the tongue, there is like a phenomenon of the viscosity switching a little bit, which is interesting. But it will basically be almost too sweet is when you've got it. Now, if it's almost 100% sweet, with just a tiny bit of herbaceousness, you're close enough, right? You're high up on efficaciousness. And if you really want to dial it in, you can do that. You can then switch from quarter droppers to just single droplets, and then get that full sweep. Now, if you wait 5 minutes and the thing that you want to be tuned isn't moving, that's when then you go back and you just start over and go back to quarter droppers. And you'll notice it will go back to bitter and then back to sweet again. And you just want to wait for the next sweet spot. And yeah, the second, it's not on the first sweet spot, the second sweet spot it will be, majority of the time. And so it's it's pretty wild to have that immediate feedback. And zinc is the only other compound I know that does that. And so it's kind of like an Easter egg in the universe of this phenomena. That waited for the right encapsulation technology to emerge. But another thing that's interesting is THC, you build tolerance typically. So like people need more and more and more to get the same effects. CBD, kind of like kava, and kava lacetones are the actives, some of the actives in kava root, which actually work on the endocannabinoid system in a way. Is interesting, but it has an inverse tolerance. So meaning you need less over time, not more. So if you think of our endocannabinoid system as like this engine that's been idling, you get the loading dose in, you get enough to engage it, and then it gets more efficient over time. So if you don't want to do the titration and get the dose right every day, like if you just take, you can apply the law of averages and essentially take like a dropper. Start with three for the loading dose and then just do a dropper a day. And some days you'll be in an effective dose range. Some days you may not, but overall your endocannabinoid system will be hitting those bell curves on average. And you'll notice the difference. It just won't necessarily be as immediate.
Is there a better time of day to take it?
Great question. Yeah. So, the endocannabinoid system, and one thing that's important. When I say CBD, I'm not talking about just CBD. So CBD is one molecule out of over 418 compounds that the plant produces. And so I liken CBD to like the trumpet section. It's loud, gets a lot of attention, it does a lot of lifting, but our bodies really need for proper micronutrient fueling of the endocannabinoid system, the entire symphony orchestra plus the trumpet section. And so the other compounds in a full spectrum extract, which means it's It's a robust extract of the plant, and it's not just isolated CBD. You've got other minor cannabinoids like CBDA, CBC, CBG, THC. Always, for it to be legally hemp, it's got to be below 0.3, which is enough to create what's called the entourage effect. So the guy, Dr. Rafael Buculeum, who discovered the endocannabinoid system, tested CBD isolate by itself and then tested a full spectrum extract and found that the full spectrum extract was much more effective at overall endocannabinoid system nourishing. Makes sense, right? You got all these complex cascading interactions in the body. Nature does a very good job of doing a lot of complexity, way more than we can even comprehend. And so, yeah, there's terpenes, which are what smell and have different flavors. They actually do a lot more than just smell. And so cannabis is one of the most diverse terpene producing plants. It doesn't have terpenes unique to cannabis that we know of yet. Caveat being hash. There's a new terpene found in hash called hashine, which is interesting, what it does do is some plants smell like citrus groves, other plants smell like pine forests, some smell like diesel engines. It's an extremely diverse terpene producing plant. And what's interesting is that the terpenes actually act and interact with cannabinoids very uniquely. And they act like little tugboats to the cannabinoids. And so the citrus terpenes, which you find in limes and lemons, that terpene is called limonene. You also find it in certain strains of cannabis. Now, limonene is going to go towards the dopamine receptors in the digestive system. So terpenes are even less bioavailable than cannabinoids. And so eating them really doesn't do much. But inhaling them through olfactory, they cross blood-brain barrier, go into hypothalamus, and then deploy out. And they've got a set path. They're going to go where they're going to go. So linalool, which is found in lavender, tends to go towards anti-elixic receptors, so it's calming. Myrosine is found in quite a few different plants, but lemongrass has a lot of myrosine, mangoes. Myrosine tends to go to calm sedation. And interact with receptors that promote sedation. Now, they will actually act like little tugboats or bio rudders, and they'll guide the cannabinoids to those receptors to act with the endocannabinoid system in that area. And so without using terpenes externally, if you're just taking it, the body's with our formulation, because you're getting an effective dose range, it's adaptogenic. And so if you need to be alert and you take it in the morning, the cannabinoids will likely go to the adenosine receptors, which are the same receptors that caffeine targets. And it will actually be focus promoting and enhance alertness. Whereas if you take it, and another thing is people who take it even in the morning, they'll find they'll actually sleep way better that night. They don't have to take it at night. And it works that whole, you can take it in the morning and get the benefits of sleep. But some people, particularly if they want to take it at night, or there's their busy day and there's a lot of oxidation in their day, they may retake it. It will change depending on what your body needs for homeostasis for that day. However, you can nudge where the cannabinoids go and gently override the triage list using the essential oils or terpenes. And so because of our immediate absorption, you can actually smell an essential oil, right? And gets it through olfactory, and you take it till it's sweet, smell the essential oil, and the timing works because it gets it immediately. And now you can nudge, let's say you're working really hard and your body's like, I need you to slow down. We're gonna slow you down right now. And you're gonna get sleepy. You can go through that whole process of, you know, recovery and repair, whatever. And you can't, right? You have to keep going. So you can take peppermint essential oil or just the leaf itself. And the terpene in peppermint is called menthol, which we know, right? And menthol will guide the cannabinoids specifically to go towards the adenosine receptors. And you can get an alert producing effect and mood state on demand, which is unique to our tech. And so you can literally custom curate where the cannabinoids go using other herbs, even in your beverages, because it's what you can put an orange in your in a drink, and then the limonene will promote the cannabinoids to be more bliss promoting and be good for digestion. Whereas you can make a lemongrass tea, and the limonene for lemons, myrcene in the lemongrass will guide the cannabinoids towards sedation and help you fall asleep really fast. And so it's really fat. It's fun, and you can literally create mood on demand just using other plants interacting with our unique formula.
I love that. I'm already a huge essential oil geek as it is, and talking about terpenes and everything else, I'm like, oh yeah, what oils do I have around me right now? Like I can use, and
it's really fun because you can like feel it shift on the spot. So you can take it till it's sweet, smell peppermint, and then wait a bit and you'll feel it. And then you go and grab the lavender, take it till it's sweet, smell the lavender, and you'll feel your body like shift gears.
Wow.
Viscerally. And so we've developed the patents for combining this with AR/VR. And so you can have like immersive environments where, and you can use it for entertainment, but also then have it deployed for particular like receptors in the body on the med tech side for trauma. And you can have like these feedback loops with AR/VR that then match the, you can go into a different room and a field of lavender. And then we built the IP for like a wearable that diffuses transdermally. So our formulation works on the skin. And then have the terpenes match it. And then you can like start to literally custom curate moodscapes in different landscapes of AR and VR, which is pretty fun.
Whoa, that's blown my mind. I'm excited to see how that unfolds. That sounds pretty cool. Huh. I am learning so much this episode.
it's a crazy plant.
I would love to talk more about, I mean, we're all talking science this episode, about the antiviral components of
yes.
CBD, because that's huge.
Yeah. And so we have to be like careful of what we say from our, so Ojai at the parent company level, is like the vault of the IP. And then we have, we built it in a way that's called like a hub and spoke. And so that's like the hub. And then we have these spokes that shoot off, and we like to call it the mothership. And then you have the other ships. And so we've got our supplement division, our ingredient supply division. We actually have a pharmaceutical and med tech and industrial tech and battery tech. So all these other divisions. And so from a supplement side, we can't say anything other than structure function, meaning how it supports a certain function or structure. I can say that on our life sciences side, go to that division and that hat, there's a tremendous amount of data there. It's extremely interesting. We have IP around that, and I highly recommend looking it up on PubMed. And there's more and more research coming out on. Excuse me, I have a siren, and it's really exciting because it can, for a lot of these different issues, there's a lot of promise. And what's fascinating is it's, and so one of our taglines is ancient roots with modern innovations. And so we stay true to the root of the ethos and also the life and the plant, and then apply, I like to call it like Gaia tech, but like earth technologies and keeping it in harmony. But we go all like in the anointing oil in the Bible, one of the main ingredients is cannabosum, the etymology of cannabis. And it would be, the recipe called for like 8 pounds of cannabosum infused into like 2 liters of olive oil. So it was very strong, with frankincense and myrrh. And those terpenes, would direct them for, skin as well as other things. And so, you know, it had been hypothesized that And so there was data showing that there was certainly cannabis fiber as well as THC and CBD resin in ancient Israel. But then just recently, there was a temple site that was like mentioned in the Old Testament, where they found these at the entrance of it, these two incense burners. And they found it discovered it, they didn't have the testing equipment to know what was in the incense. And someone just a couple months ago was like, let's go test that again. Turns out one of them was filled with CBD and THC resin. And then the other one was filled with frankincense resin. And so the terpenes in frankincense would direct the cannabinoids to the brain and create more blissful, and potentially we're actually leading the research on how the endocannabinoid system interfaces with flow and those in flow state of human performance. And so, which is very much an experienced mystical like state. And so there's a highlight, like we know that those terpenes would likely guide cannabinoids to promote flow, which is absolutely fascinating. And so it was definitely used both as a topical and as an inhaled form, and then indirect consumption through eating the animals and byproducts. And there's a lot of evidence of the anointing oil for fighting off, they didn't know what viruses are back then, but yeah, there's a lot of data there. And we need to learn a lot more, but it's a super exciting area that we're diving into. And that one point of, if people have felt CBD and it's a fat-based formula, the only time I would recommend a fat-based formulation of CBD would be for topical application. It's very effective topically. It's just not bioavailable and ingested, right? And unless you're using our form of certified organic encapsulated water soluble, now you get an effective dose with way less. You can actually feel it, which is awesome. We get all the time, we get these responses where people are like, I gave up and now you've changed my life and I actually feel it. And it is quite pronounced when you get the right dose. But topical formulations, super effective as well, which is why we have a coconut oil that is, we search the planet for the best coconut oil. And like most coconut oils have that kind of nutty flavor to them, even if it's a raw virgin coconut oil. And that means most likely it was taken dehydrated coconut shreds that would be sold as coconut shreds. And then they take that and then press that, and it's legally raw because it was dehydrated below the legal limit to be considered raw, and then pressed. Well, for our coconut, we actually get it completely fresh, pressed. And so it's alive and there's enzymes, and, we know the farm, it's all fair trade and certified organic, and we combine that with the cannabinoid. And so that I recommend not for nourishing your endocannabinoid system from ingestion, but it's really good for massages and oil pulling. And then with our water soluble form, when you put it on the skin, it can penetrate way deeper and it's much faster acting. And so combining them is super effective for people.
So I know, like, I initially started searching and using CBD products because I had a sports injury. I had like injured badly hip/knee issues. Yeah. So how does that work in terms of actually, I mean, using it topically? We talked about how it actually internally feeds your body's systems, but
yes.
Can you like nerd us out a little bit of how that actually helps topically for something like that?
For something deeper?
Deeper, yeah. So I'm saying like a muscle or tissue issue, or I don't even know, a cartilage issue, something.
Yeah.
Examples of why you might want to explore using it topically, and then maybe also surprising usages using it topically as well.
Yeah. So for fat based form or water soluble or both?
I guess both, because now, cool. Now that so, I know.
Yeah. So for topical, you've got CB receptors all over your skin, predominantly CB2. And then we also have these receptors called vanilloid receptors, named after vanilla. And then they're also called capsicum receptors. which is after peppers, same receptor, different names, that are responsible for thermal regulation along with inflammatory response and some pain response. And so if you overuse, like you had a super hard workout and you're sore, if you put the coconut oil, it's quite effective, even deeper. And so we actually don't really understand how topical can affect deeper systems. It's going to be linked to the TRVP1, which is vanilloid receptors, and the CB2 receptors. I mean, that's a whole area that needs to be like dug into more. And which is what I love about endocannabinoid system science is like, it's ancient, and yet we know like nothing and simultaneously know a ton. But we're discovering every day. And so that one's a bit of an enigma of how it works that way. On the fat soluble side, water soluble side makes sense. It's penetrating in, and you've got receptors, cannabinoid receptors. So you have the dermal receptors, but then you actually have cannabinoid receptors in your fascia and in your tendons. And it, not only there, but all the way into your bones. Your bones actually have cannabinoid receptors, even into the marrow. And then at a cellular level, our cells, so systemically we have receptors. And then at a cellular level, the cells actually have receptors themselves as well. And so we're literally covered and run by the endocannabinoid receptors. And so that would make sense. And in a way that's not for both formulas. We actually have this kind of cult usage in, of you can put, one of my friends is like, Will, can I bathe in the CBD oil, in the coconut? And I was like, that sounds amazing. You know, there's no problem with that. And, met her for sushi, and this famous family like saw her and they were like, oh, Amanda, you're glowing. And she was like, her skin was vibrant. And she happened to have the coconut. She's like, well, I just bathed in this. And so then that spread. And so there's this whole, like, so you can do that. And you just put like a couple teaspoons and there's actually like a real benefit. And there's Ayurvedic roots of covering your whole body in oil. It helps with nerves and nervous system. So that's an awesome hack. And then additionally, because it's water soluble with our elixir, you can put a couple droppers in a bathtub. And that is like a deep tissue massage on steroids. I mean, you're flooding literally every receptor all at once, and it's getting in. And if you add like six droppers, it's like, it feels like a mystical experience. It's like a rebirth. And so it's extremely effective for soaking, for right after working out to all the way to like just relaxation. And you can put in different essential oils, and then you're going to be breathing in the terpenes, and then that's going to match. And so then you can create like specific mood baths. And so that's a whole secret hack that is extremely effective and worthwhile.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely adding that to my bath routine. I'm like, yes.
It's a level up.
I'm like, you know, I thought like an Epsom salt bath and magnesium soak was great, but wait until we jump into this. I will have to report back to everybody.
Awesome. And it works great with the Epsom salts and magnesium awesome. Too. Like you can stack it.
I'm not gonna get out of that tub, I'll tell you that.
It's super relaxing.
Well, thank you so much, Will, for coming on. I keep wanting to ask you questions, but we are out of time. Was there anything you would like to kind of wrap up our episode today?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's fun. Yeah. And if anyone has, you know, questions, they can find us, our website, email us, we're on all the social channels. And if you have any other questions, love to come back sometime if you're interested. And I had a blast. It was fun.
Me too. Maybe I want to research more of this essential oil.
We can do a whole thing on terpene. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, she really is the plant of abundance, and yes, there's so many areas, which is fun because every day I get to wake up and I'm like living my dream and get to dive into all these different areas. And it's just a lot of fun.
I can feel it, and I'm sure everybody else can feel it and see it too. Thank you for just following your heart and your passion and your bliss. And you're this beautiful example of the flow state. And thank you for doing that and sharing that with us today. And I like to close every episode asking, how can we, the listeners, be of service for you, as a big thank you and a big hug in return?
That's awesome. Amazing question. You know, I like following your bliss and we're all like integral, beautiful parts of this amazing tapestry of life. And so, you know, that's one of my by helping people get their endocannabinoid systems online. When you can take, when you love yourself, then you're really able to be of service and love others. And so, you know, loving yourself and following your bliss. And I think it's the best gift because we're all connected and yeah, it's fun.
Mm. Yes, it is. And it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yep.
Just whatever, you tune in, connect, and sometimes
and you know.
You know, and it can be something.
And it's okay, like, not to know too, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
But even tuning in is an act of love. So yeah.
Well, thank you, Will, so much for coming on the show today. I know I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you so much.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.